Especially the heartbeat of marriage. I've already explained that what we are learning, it seems like you don't need a diploma, or you don't need to become a scholar before you can understand these simple words. And I've already explained that this is what God expects us to do in our marriage. And as I'm speaking here, standing here as a teacher, I've practiced this kind of things, and it has helped me a lot. And I know by putting this into practice, I think we are going to receive a joy what God wants from our marriage. Because I can see that marriage has a potential to make us happy, or what? The potential to make us what? Man. Marriage has a potential, what? To destroy our life. Or marriage has a potential to what? To force us to what? Even give up our life. This is what we have to take this kind of service very seriously, because marriage is very, very important. The most important is what? To become a Christian. And the second thing is what? Our marriage is very, very important, because a lot of people's life are what? Miserable. Because of what? Because of marriage. So God is teaching us just simple practice. Just very simple practice, so that what? You can succeed. Because God knows that marriage is what? It's God very good. That's why He created marriage. We have already learned that He started creating a lot of things and He said, oh, it's good, it's good. But when he created Adam, the moment he created Adam, he said, it's what? It's not good. So God knows that marriage is important. And let us bear in mind that marriage is what? God's institution. So if you go into the marriage, you have to what? Follow the procedure, the principle. There is what? Formula for us to follow. No matter how, that's what I'm saying. All what the Bible is saying here, all that we have learned from previous weeks, it seems like you know it. But the problem is what? Application. Application. How to what? Apply it in our life. That is where we always what? Fall short. As a Christian, this is where what? We fall short. It seems like we know a lot from the Bible. It doesn't mean that you don't know. You know it. But the problem is, how do I apply it? The application is what? Very, very important. So, please, I'm praying that you take this Bible class, especially marriage and the family, very seriously. Because if you want to live in this world, the short age God has given to us, He say about what? Our age is what? How much? About 70 years. 70 years, at least, you need to what? You need to enjoy it. Enjoy it with what? In your marriage. Because if you don't put all these things we are learning in place, please, we are not going to achieve it. So, God's so good. We have learned that a lot of things in the previous week, that God wants us to what? To build companionship. Companionship. God wants us to build a companionship. Immediately, we saw it from Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. We have learned that. And we know, at least, you can even apply a lot of things, because you know a lot in the Bible. But as I already said, the application is the important. And we have also learned what? That man and his wife, what? The best friends. They're supposed to be what? The best friends. Me and my wife, we're supposed to what? To be the best friends. Although you have friends, but my wife, I see my wife as mine. She is my best friend. So I don't need to have anything to her. It's not easy. And you also what? Learn the what? The idea of what? Respect. We have learned the idea of respect. We need to respect our couples. I need to respect my wife, and my wife also what? Need to respect me. The idea of respect. We have learned that. And what? We have what? Also learned what? Unity. Unity. Because that is what God what? Created marriage. That is all about what? Unity. We have also, God so good, we have learned that about unity. And today we are going to continue about what? Cleaving. Cleaving together. How you can what? Live together. And it's also what? It's also part of God's scheme of what? Marriage. How we can live together. It's also part of God's purpose. Because God said, let's read that place. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Thank you. So, he said, therefore, yeah, last week I explained, therefore, why Bible is saying therefore? Therefore, because what? He has laid points, some points behind us. We have already learned some points. And because of that, therefore, a man shall what? Leave his parents and be cleave to his wife, and both of them become one. One flesh. A man leaves his parents. Let's read something about what Mark also said. Mark 10, 7, 8, and 9. The book of Mark. Mark chapter 10, verse 7, 8, and 9.
For this cause shall man leave his father and mother, and cleave to his wife, and this twin shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two, but one flesh.
Yeah.
What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder.
So it's the same thing what Genesis has said. The book of Mark also what? It's repeating the same thing. So let us take in mind that it's God who has joined us together, and it is our responsibility to what? To cleave together. Me and my wife are supposed to live together because that is what God has ordained. He takes on his own responsibility, and parents must let them go. Because you say a man, you get to a point where you are, you become a man. And that time, God said, our parents were supposed to allow you to what? To form your own family. Because that is what a process, that is also a God's plan. That it will come to one day where what? I will leave my parents. I will not leave my parents forever. It will come to a time where what? I will leave my parents. My wife also is the same thing. It will come to a time where she also leaves her parents. And both of you, or for us, supposed what? To live together, to come together as one. But that doesn't mean that we are to forsake our parents. Even the book of Ephesians has said a lot. Children, obey your what? parents. So if you leave your parents, that doesn't mean that the Bible is not contradicting itself, that if you leave your parents, the Bible says you have to leave your parents, that which means you are not going to take care of your parents, because your parents are still our parents. That doesn't mean that we are what? We are forsaking them. To grieve to his wife, he grieved to her as if he never wanted to lose her. Because this is what we see from the beginning of our marriage. Because these things we see from the beginning of our marriage. But the moment you cleave together, as it seems at times, problems start what? Coming. And you see, in this, after this one, you will see the causes. What causes the problem? So that as Lord God people, you become what? You become confident. What? To live faithful for God. God wants us to be faithful to him, not only what? In Sunday here, but also what? Be faithful to him in our marriage, in our workplaces, in anywhere what? You put our leg there. We as a Christian supposed what? To show good character. And we, that's what I'm saying, we always call, we are what? Light, we are what? Salt. People supposed to see us instead for us what? To copy from others. People supposed to what? Copy from us. Because we are what? God representatives. We represent God. Each Christian represents what? Christ here on earth. So our marriage supposed to be a what? Supposed to be in the situation where God likes it. How is it? How do they create together? We have already, as I'm already saying, by building companionship, being best friends, being respectful, maintaining unity, determined to grieve together. Not and the next one, you will learn the last one. This process helps them what? To what? To grieve together. Building companionship, being best friend, respectful for each other, maintaining unity. What? What all these things bring about? It brings about what? Cleaving. That helps us what? To cleave together. Because even our last, when we are doing studying respect, the idea of respect, you say, you normally what? You want to walk away from people who what? Who don't respect us. So respect also helps us what? To cleave together. And not only that, the unity you have and the best friend, all these things happen for us to cleave together. By being careful to please each other, let's read something from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 33 to 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 33, 34. Because here Paul was saying something about a married woman and a married man, a person who has not married, if we are Christian. Those who are not married, say, think more for God. And those who are married, he says something about that. How they think. And God knows that that is the right way for them to do. You see, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. You
are he that is married, care for the things that are of the Lord, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The married woman care for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. For she that is married care for the things of the world, how she may please her husband.
We have found that. Okay. So how do we learn from the what Paul is saying here, verse 3 to 34? He said, but he that is married, careful the things that are of the world, how he may please what? His wife. So, we, the person who was married, the man, it is what? It is our obligation to always looking for the things what? What you do to what? To please our wife. This is what in verse 33 is saying there. But he that is married, he's just making a comparison. He's not condemning that, but he's making that. But he that is married, care for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. He's saying think of the world, not that he's looking about the thing, but he's thinking the things which he can do. What? To always do what? To please our wife, to show appreciation. He said, verse 34, there is difference also between a wife and a virgin, as we said. The unmarried woman care for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she that is married care for the things of the world, how she may what? Please her husband. So it is a vice versa. When you marry, it is my responsibility to what? To look in the world. What I will do? What? To praise my wife. My wife also need to look in this world. How what she will do to what? To praise me. That is why God wants us to live together. Because togetherness is very, very important. That is our priority. By giving each other a high one, priority, it will seem that this is nature, for they do it before marriage. When they are not married, it seems like things they are negotiating, always they want to see each other. By why? The moment you live together, you start what? It seems like we are enemies. And God wants us to what? To live together. And if you consider the points, the heartbeat of marriage, the points we have already learned, you can live together no matter how the situation. Because in this point, we are not what? Going to use what I think, what I suggest, what I feel. It's all about what? What the Bible said. What can I do to what? To please my wife. What can I do? What? To please my husband. That is my charge. My charge is what? To please my wife. That is my charge in the marriage. Your charge is to what? To please your wife. And also, you are also to please your husband. That is your charge in marriage. That's why God wants us to grieve together. Grieving together is very, very important in the eyes of the Lord. He said, it will seem that this is natural, for they do not do it before marriage. They become one flesh. Normally, they become one flesh when what? They are what? The day they married. They married. But normally, that is spiritually, they become one flesh when what? They cleave together. I repeat myself. They become one flesh, physical, when what? The day they marry. But what? They become spiritually married when what? They cleave together. That is what? They become what? One flesh. They become as one person. He said, they become one flesh, one person. Children and all these things are what? We consider as a brother. So, go, if you are grieving together, maybe this is also maybe next time in our, when we are looking for causing problems to the marriage. We are grieving together. So what? What I have does not belong to me alone. This is where a lot of marriage will fall. What I have, because what I have, the things belong to me. I count it is not belong to me alone. Because we are cleaving together with all our what our possessions as well. Our money, our bank accounts, us is killing a lot of family, God's family. I want to have my bank account. You will want to have your own bank account. Who tell us these things? Where did you get all these teachings from? Where did you get all this? It's coming from the word of God. Why? Because God said, you know what? Let's repeat Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Let's repeat that verse again.
Therefore, that a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
They shall become what? One flesh. And I want to have my own bank account. You want to have your own bank account. So why are you cleaving together? Why God wants us to cleave together? If He wants everything to be separated, why God wants us to come together? So that's why I'm saying we know a lot of God's word, but how to apply it? The application is our problem. Our application, how to apply God's word, is our problem. A lot of times we leave the Bible and focus on what denomination the world is doing. We just ignore what the Bible. This is what exactly what Israel people were doing to God. And it seems like we are also what? Doing the same thing. Now, even if you are not careful, even our punishment will be what? More greater than the what? The Israel people. Because we have what? First Corinthians, he said, all what is written there was written for what? For our learning, for an example. And it seems that all this advantage we have because of selfish interest or what? So we need to grieve together. We need to grieve together our goals, joy, money, possession, everything that was separate now become what? United. Everything that's separate become what? United. This is what the lesson God wants us to learn. My brother, my sisters, it seems like we know God's word a lot, but let us try to apply it. That is why I'm saying all these points we are just making. It seems like you know all these points, but you haven't applied. That's why I'm challenging you, because I have applied. I've applied and it's working all right. God's word is always the light. If you want our life to be success, we have to what? Follow God's principle. That's why I'm saying a lot of times you see God's principle as what? As foolishness. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. They say God's words at times is look like what? Foolishness. Look at 2 Kings, I think. 2 Kings chapter 5 or 2 Kings. Naaman, you are what? You are ill of what? Leprosy. And he said you have found a what? A good prophet of God. You have walked from all long trip to what? To for healing. And you went there and the prophet said, oh, go and what? Dig Jordan River for what? For 7 times. Look at. He became what? Bible says he's what? He's angry. Angry for what? He's angry because he thinks that the prophet will what? Will come and hold him as our fake prophet always do on the television. Hold him and maybe push him on the ground, walking on. He say he's thinking this is what he's going to do. That's what I'm saying. A lot of times, Naaman obey even some young girl, young boy say, "Oh, master, why are you doing this? Try this one because this is the." And he what? He went 7 times and what? He gained his what? Bible says he looked like what? A fresh baby. At times the God's word is what? God's principle is what? It's foolishness to us. But we need to do it. We need to do it no matter how it is. Look at God is omnipotent. When they came and Israel get to Jericho, he said, "Oh, march through the city and sang and blow the trumpet." It's only this is the only way God can do. No, because God is what? All powerful. Or because he has opened the sea for people what? To pass through. But in the place of Jericho, he said what? Sing a song. Sing. Blow the trumpet. And what? Because that's what I'm saying. If you see these principles, you will say, "Oh, it's very easy. I am going to be a companionship with my wife. I have to be a best friend with my wife. I have to respect my wife. We have to live with unity. We have to live together." You will see these things as what? As foolishness. You will see these things as foolishness. But either it's foolishness or what? This is the what? The way God wants our marriage to grow. And we need, as a better Christians, we need what? To obey. Our challenge is what? To obey. That's why I'm saying it is wrong. If you don't know, it is wrong as a Christian or as a married couple to have separate bank accounts. It is wrong if you don't know. In our marriage will not succeed. Maybe it will be in a temporary way, but it will not work. It will not succeed. And even if it succeeds, it's not what God wanted. That is not God's way. That is not biblical way to have my different position. What are you? Because you always quote, "We are stewards, all what we have is what belongs to God." But when it comes in our marriage, in our own application, we find it difficult to just obey these simple instructions. So I am repeating. If you grieve together, our goals, joys, money, possessions, everything that was separate now become one. One. Now become one. That is what God wants. Not you or me. It is what God wants. That's what God wants from you and me. He said, technically, a man and a woman become one flesh when I've already said it. So, I'm saying this. Technically, or in the face of other people, you have become what? Married in the day of what? Swelling to each other. But what? In God's sight, you become what? Marriage. When what? We have what? Cleave together. We have cleave together. It is also, it's part of God's plan. That is God's plan. If you want our marriage to be successful, we have to be cleave together. Because I'm saying so, because some remain married knowing divorce is wrong. but they are miserable. Then, though not divorced, they are so wrong not living together. Some people know. A lot of things, if that's where I come from, in marriage in Africa, or they say, where I come from, you have what? Separate, if problems come up. But the Bible doesn't say there will not be a problem in marriage. You get there. Bible didn't what? Promises that if you come together, even his church, there is what? Problem. Problem will come, and God has what? Laid the procedure. I think we learn from when we are learning the book of Matthew. You see, if somebody offends, the procedure you have to, because God knows that as we have come together, we offend ourselves. That is not what we are doing. If the problem comes, God knows we, through God help, and as we are saying, we are going to, if I'm going to use the will of God, the Bible, and you are going to use the Bible, no matter how the problem is, we can solve the problem. So, I decided to finish this one, but God willing, I will finish these 6 points next week. But let's read something from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 to 5, and then if anybody has a question or opposition, you can. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 to 5.
Now, that things whereof he wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Then the woman enters into the wife due painfully, and that also the wife into the husband. The wife has no power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has no power of his own body, but the wife. Before he not on the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer. And think together again that Satan tempts you not, nor for your incontinency.
Thank you. God willing, this point you bring it on our next. Our last one, which means so I urge everybody to go and read Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. That is where it's going to be our last one. And we have to join it with what? 1 Corinthians chapter what? 7, 1 to 5. So God willing, next week you bring this particular study, the heartbeat of marriage, into conclusion, because I have a lot to say from little what we have learned from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 7, verse 1. It says, if anybody has question or contribution, that is it.